Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the beautiful weather you blessed us with and the season of life that we can experience. And God, we are grateful to you for your many blessings and the way that you provide and care for us. And God, I just pray that as we are gathered together here this morning, that we would be able to worship you, to hear from you this morning. Pray for Richard as he shares with us, that you would guide and direct his thoughts and his words. Allow him to be able to share the message you've laid on his heart and help us to be open and attentive to hear what you have to share with us as well. And I just pray that you would be honored and glorified by our time together this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it is indeed a privilege to be here this morning again. And I asked Josh if it's okay to be down here. I have a little illustration I'd like to use, so I'll be down here anyway. So I'd like to ask the question this morning, if someone would come to you and say, is the mic, it's not on, is this thing, do I have it in the right spot? It's on. Put it down. Okay. Can you hear me? If someone would come to you and say, you know, I'm not doing real well. I'm struggling. I don't have a lot of energy. I am emotionally feel zapped. I feel depressed. You ever feel depressed? I got a lot of anxiety and, you know, just not doing well at all. What would you say to that person? What would you say? Well, you need to get in the Word and study the Word. Well, maybe that would be good. What would you say, anybody? What would be the first question you would, or the first thing you would say to a person like that that come to you? Okay. What's causing you to feel that way? What's causing you to feel that way? Good. Yeah. I'm not a counselor, or a doctor or anything else. But I think there's some. The first thing that came to my mind would be, are you getting your rest? Would that be a good question to ask? Are you getting your rest? And I would say, well, you know, I get about 4 hours of sleep. 4 hours of sleep a night, okay? The next question I would say maybe would be, are you eating? What are you taking in? And if I would say, the person would say to me, well, you know, I maybe get one meal, good meal a day, but most of it's just on the run, snacks. And actually, you know, I'm drinking about 7 cans of Mountain Dew a day. That keeps me going. And you know what would start happening? I'd say, so you're getting 4 hours of sleep a day. You're drinking 7 cans of Mountain Dew. You know how much sugar that is? And I think I would be depressed too. I think I would have a lot of anxieties too. In fact, I would probably be pretty goofy if I was doing that. This morning what I'd like to talk about is finding a healthy balance in life. One of my things that I, and I don't know where it came from, but it's that keeps going through my head anytime I'm dealing with things in my life is balance. And this morning I have up here, I don't know what this thing's called, but it's a little scales. And if I was to ask you, what is your life? If you would put your life in here and what would it look like? Would it be like that? Would it be way off balance? Like the guy I was talking about, drinking 7 cans of Mountain Dew and getting 4 hours of rest. And how would your life look? What would it look like? I think it's an important question that we all need to ask ourselves as young people, as older people, and as older people. Yesterday I was talking to a guy, I was up at the shop with Joshua, and this guy came in, and he was saying, man, Jason was talking to him about, one of Josh's employees was talking to him about his job, and he was saying, I just can't wait till I can retire, and then, you know, I'm going to have time to do what I want to do, on and on and on. And I said to him, just one thing to be remember is retiring doesn't solve all your problems, okay? Sometimes we have this idea that, you know, then I think it's important for us to deal with life right here where we are and to have a healthy balance whether we're 15 years old or 60 years old. So this morning I'd like to look at some things and look at the scripture, and hopefully we can gain some ideas on how do you keep a healthy balance. And there's four things that I'd like to look at after I read the scripture here on looking at balance in life. And one of them is your spiritual life. The second is your family. The third is, what's the third? The third is your physical life, your health. And the fifth is financial aspect of life. I think those are four main issues that we all deal with on a daily basis. And finding balance in life is not easy. Sometimes I know when we were younger and had children at home, and you know, as a father, I had, you know, relationship with my wife to keep current and keep a good balance on, and then each one of the children, and you know, you'd work at one and get it, feel like it was pretty good, and then you'd have another one to work on. And so it was a constant challenge of balancing out ministry or time or, you know, and it is a challenge. Someone has said finding balance in life is a little like a tight walk, a rope. How do you say that on a rope? Guy that walks on a rope, tightrope walker. Yeah. What does he have? What does he always use? A what? Balance. And what is that balance? What is it? It's a pole. Usually they always have a pole. Most of the time, I guess there's exceptions, but so they have a pole. And that pole is constantly going, you know, as they're walking. And I would maintain to you this morning that finding balance in life is a little that way. You know, you never get it perfectly right. It's a constant struggle to find balance in life, whether it's in your time, your relationship with your family, your job. It's a constant working. And so if you get frustrated like I do sometimes in trying to find balance in life and get like, oh, man, that's the reality. That's real. You're doing good. That's just the reality of the way it is. And as long as we have breath, with God's help, we can find. I believe God wants us. Dervin read in his devotions about joy. Probably very difficult to have joy if your life is out of balance. Would you agree with that? I think so, yeah. If your life is out of balance and you're, you know, not doing well, it's going to be hard for you to really have a lot of joy in life. And sometimes balance, if I'd have came to church this morning with a tractor trailer, you would have said, what is wrong with that guy? He's out of balance. You know, something's missing. You know what I'm saying? It's out of balance. Some things are very easy. If I would tell you I drink 7 or 8 cans of Mountain Dew a day, you know, those are pretty easy, right? But there's other things that get a little tough, like, you know, how do you deal with it? And so this morning we'd like to look at that, and how do you balance that thing to keep balance in your life? Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 3. We're going to look at just a couple verses here in Ecclesiastes. Solomon, we all know, was one of the wisest men in life, and at the end of his life, I mean, he tried everything. He tried wealth, he tried women, he tried possessions, buildings, and he tried it all. And And I think it was because he was searching for a meaning in life. And Solomon, at the end of his life, he said, all those things that I tried, the money, the wealth, the power, you name it, brought no meaning to life. There was no meaning there. It was all, and even wisdom, you know, being the smartest man, was looking for meaning. And it was all vanity. It was nothing. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let's read a couple verses there, starting at verse 1. It says, there is a right time for everything, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to destroy and a time to rebuild, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time for scattering stones, and a time for scattering stones, and a time for gathering stones, a time to hug, and a time to not hug, a time to find, and a time to lose, a time for keeping, and a time for throwing away, a time for tears, and a time to tear, and a time to repair, a time to be quiet, and a time to speak up, a time to love, a time for loving, and a time for hating, a time for war, and a time for peace. I'd like to ask you a question this morning. How many of you this week were at home with your family, interacting with them? I'm not talking about doing your own thing, being at home and doing your thing, but were at home and actively involved with family life, like participating with your children. So this is married people. Three nights this week were you home, and if your children are gone, you were spending some quality time with your wife, half decent quality time. Okay, you got the picture. I'm looking for a raise of hands of those men that were home 3 nights this week with your family and spend some quality time. Don't everybody raise your hand at once. How many here did that? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow, that's good. I'm impressed. How many were home 2 nights this week? 1, 2, 3, 4. Joshua, Michelle gave you a look there. I don't know what that look meant. Okay. How many weren't at home any night this week and spending quality time with your father? Okay. And the rest of you that are lying, would you please raise your hand? Solomon is talking here about time and how to balance time. And I don't have the answers for this. I know that it's a challenge. In the world that we live, the busyness of the world that we live, it's a challenge to properly balance your time and use your time wisely. But I believe it's essential that we do. So let's look at how do you do that? I think all of us, if I was to ask you, is it your goal in life to become spiritually mature? I think most of you would say, yeah, that's would be what I would desire, that I would become mature spiritually. I don't want to be a child spiritually. I want to grow up spiritually. I want to be mature spiritually. And I think one of the essentials of being spiritually mature is to be able to balance our lives in a proper way. I don't think it's possible to be spiritually mature and not have a balance in life. So Solomon is saying it's a time and a place for everything. We live in a super unbalanced world. Wouldn't you agree with that? We live in a super unbalanced world. And so we're on a stream going upstream against the current. And that takes energy. It takes work. You cannot, if you get on a canoe or a boat and you try to go upstream, it's, you either have to have a motor or you're going to have to work. I mean, it takes energy to do that. And I believe finding balance in life requires that you takes energy. Proverbs also talks about, in Proverbs 11, talks about a false balance, and that's an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And I think that's talking about weighing things, you know, that you give a correct, like when you go to Mark's Exxon and you pump a gallon of gas, you expect to get a gallon, right? Not three-quarters of a gallon. So you want a proper weight. And a false balance is an abomination, Solomon says, but a just weight, a proper weight, is a delight. So I think also to have a proper balanced life is a delight to the Lord, and we need to do that. We spend way too much time on things that really don't matter, don't we? What really matters, and I'm 66 now, right? And as I look back over my life, and as you get older, I think you tend to do that a little more, and say, you know, did I spend my time properly? Were the things I was involved in really going to make a difference in eternity? I still ask myself that question. Since I'm not, Joshua has taken the business over and I'm not directly involved in that. And, when I get up in the morning, I say, you know, is what I'm going to do this morning going to make a difference in eternity? This week, our leadership team met at for breakfast down toward Reading somewhere. And when I was coming back through, I wanted to stop at the Kagerite stove to get some parts for a stove, but they were closed. I thought, well, I'll go up to 78 there and get some gas in my car till they open up. It was 8:30. And I got there and I started putting gas in my car, and this guy started walking across the parking lot toward me. And as soon as I seen him coming, I knew this guy's got a question for me. I was like, oh, do I need this, So he came up to me and he said, can you do me a favor? What would you say? No, I can't. I said, well, possibly. What do you need? He said, well, I need somebody to take me down to Hamlin to the bank and get some money. And then I need somebody to take me and get my car. It's in the repair shop getting worked on. And I said, oh, sure, I'll do that. And so he got in the car, and we started traveling down there. And it really didn't fit in my schedule. You know, I had other things I wanted to do, but, you've been there. You've done that. And you know, that's going to be, and then his car was on down further east yet. And so it was a good hour that was going to put me behind what I was planning to do. And so as we were driving down there, when he got in the car, and he was an older man, and this is the first thing he said, can I tell you a joke? You know, where do you go with that? And I said, well, sure, if it's a clean joke. Oh, well, this one's not real clean. I said, okay, then I don't want to hear it. You know, if it's a good joke, clean joke, sure. Oh, no, you know, I respect your religion. I'm not going to tell you. I said, no, it's not my religion. It's my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why I want to hear, if you're going to tell me something, I want to hear. And we had a great discussion. And, you know, after I dropped him off as we were talking, I said, Ron, what would you do if today was your last day here? And he's like, this guy's 69 years old. He's divorced. He has one child. His life's a mess. And he said, you know, I never thought about that. I don't like to think about that. I said, well, I don't either, but that's reality, ain't it? I mean, someday you're going to die. and there's eternity before us, heaven and hell. Well, I don't believe in that. I said, oh, are you an atheist? No, I'm an agnostic. Is that okay? I'm an agnostic. I said, okay. He said, I believe in God, but I don't, you know, that's about as far as it goes. I don't believe that, you know, I just don't know about it. He said, all the Catholic churches and all the corruptness that's going on. But anyway, I could have shut that down. I mean, I could have missed that opportunity to share Christ. And I gave him a Gospel of John. I said, Ron, you need to read this. And there's answers in here for life. And I think it's important that you do that. And he said, okay, thank you. I'll read that. But my point is, and I don't always do that right, there's times I think God brings opportunities to my life and I miss it because maybe off balance, I'm rushed, I'm in a hurry, I got things to do, places to go, people to see. You know the line. But God brings us opportunities. And are you willing to take time and balance in your daily life to be able to meet those opportunities that he puts before you? We are busy being busy. You know what that feels like? Busy being busy. The reality is, we all have 24 hours, don't we, in our day? And I believe God gave us those 24 hours to use them wisely and to use them responsibly. So if we got 24 hours in a day, I need some help here. So how many hours of sleep do you need a day or night? What does doctors say approximately to have a healthy body? What do you need? How many hours of sleep? Eight, okay. Anybody else want to agree with that or disagree with that? Six. Who said six? Okay. Okay. Well, in my research, it says 7 to 9. Each person is a little different, but 7 to 9. 6 is probably a little short. But how many of you get 7 hours of sleep a night? Okay, good. All right. How many of you get less than that? Okay, a couple of you. Yeah. I knew a guy, a good friend of mine up in Pine Grove, that he used to say, I just sleep fast. That I don't that must, I don't what that was, but now it's coming through loud and clear. Oh, you just got to sleep fast. What happened? Did I do something or did... Okay. Now I lost my train of thought. I think if we're going to have a proper balance in life, one of the key elements is sleeping fast. No, it's getting our proper rest, 7 to 9 hours. And there's some of us that don't need as much as others, but you know how many hours you need to get a good proper sleep. A rest that your body feels rejuvenated. And so to find a healthy balance in life, you need to get your rest. If you're not doing that, you need to adjust your life to do that, because you can't be good if you don't feel good, right? That goes hand in hand. If you don't feel good, it's going to be hard for you to really have that joy that Durbin was talking about this morning. So getting a healthy rest is important. Then the next question in our time is that we deal with is work. How many hours of work do you need a day? It's pretty quiet. Eight? Okay. How many work 8 hours a day? Okay, a couple. Well, how many work more than 8 hours a day? Okay, well, I'll look at that. Okay. So let's just say you work 9 hours a day. You need to get 7 hours of rest. How much time do you spend eating a day? That's probably a whole lot less than it should be. My wife always gets on my case about when we eat. You know, they say that it's very important when you eat that you eat slow and take your time and relax. And most of us eat on the run. And when we do eat, we just shovel it down. And this Ron guy I was talking to, that was his. He said his wife weighed 400 pounds. He said, and she shoveled it down with two hands. to eat slow, to take our time. And might I also add here, I think we have, in my generation, growing up as a child at home, like, I don't remember having a lot of breakfasts together as a family, but I do remember having lunch and supper together. That was essential. I mean, we just knew that that was a time that we would all sit down at the table and enjoy a meal together. So how many of you here have three meals together as a family where you sit down and eat together? Okay, there's not too many hands. Two meals. How about two meals as a family? You sit down together at a table. Folks, two. Okay. One? Okay. Could I encourage you in that? That's a beautiful time to, as a family, to be able to dialogue and share your... So work on that. I believe if you're only having one meal a day, you're probably a little like this, a little bit out of balance. If you want to get that in balance, I think work on two meals a day if possible. And I know there's the schedules and all that, but there's such beautiful things that can happen at a time together with meals. And I would encourage you as families to be able to do that. So now we have, let's say we got 8 hours, 7 hours of rest, 9 hours of work. How much is that, Andre? 7 hours of sleep and 9 hours of work. How many hours is that? Nine and seven is 16, I guess. Eight. That's what it used to be. So that's 16 hours. You got 24 hours. Oh, we didn't get to eating yet. How many hours do you spend eating a day? I have, if you take an hour, most places, I think, give about 45 minutes off for lunch. Is that average work? How much you get off for lunch, Randy? 10 minutes, okay. Is that what you take, or is that what you will be offered? Let's talk to somebody else. John, how many hours did you get up? What did they give you for lunch? You don't take a lunch break. Okay.
Half hour.
Okay. A half hour is decent, probably a decent time for lunch. I think that's what you guys do, Joshua, about a half hour. And just to be able to sit back and I believe it's critical to do that. There's something about just being able to relax, let the... You know, sometimes the phone's ringing, but yeah. So that takes, if it takes half hour, and let's say an hour for supper, you're looking at another. So how much time do you have left is the question I'm looking for. You know, you probably have 6 hours left from sleep, work, eating, to do the other things in life that you need to do. And then we wonder why we live in such a hectic world because of the time schedule that we have put ourselves in. And I just really appreciate Family Harvest, Daniel Coutain and Angie come to our church there. And he grew up in Grenada. And he just says, man, you guys are crazy. I just can't. What is the deal? I mean, he just can't figure it out. Growing up in Grenada, the reality is in the culture in Grenada, you know, the lifestyle that he's living here, he would be considered a millionaire. I mean, he just is. You know his lifestyle, he has two vehicles, he's got a nice home, he's got a family. But in this culture, he's almost considered a lazy bum because he's, you know, he's just not out there to... I mean, just, you know, it's a total different perspective. And so how do you find the balance in your time and being able to balance all that out? But it is perspective on what do you balance your, what's on the other side there? What are you comparing yourself with? And I would maintain to you that not every culture is like this culture that we have here. And maybe the culture itself is out of bounds. And I tell you, I am so excited. Just last weekend, we were up in Townville, Pennsylvania. It's up close to Erie. And there were seven families there, and they're looking at doing a church plan. And those couples are all 30 years in that neighborhood there. And I am excited. There is a group of young people in our culture, in our settings, that are saying, you know what, life is more than about materialistic and all the things, and there's a better way. And I'm so excited to see that. And I think as in my generation, we have not set a real good example for the younger people. And to see God getting a holding and changing some of those young people's lives, and I see it around here too. And I'm excited about that, that there is more to life than working 20 hours or 10 hours or whatever it is a day and trying to accumulate wealth for what? And I'm excited about what God's going to do with that group of young people that care about what life is all about. And they're saying there's more important things. And I believe that God will use them in a mighty way to accomplish his work. A couple weeks ago, I was looking at the news on my phone, and they had in there the oldest lady in the world that just, at least on record, what they said, just turned 116. And I think she was from China, probably. And they interviewed her, and they asked her, what part of life did you enjoy the most? Okay. Now, if you were to answer that question, somebody asked, what would you say? What part of life did you enjoy the most? Some of you are younger and don't have, you know, but it's a good question to ask. And you know what she said? Did anybody see that little clip? She said, right now. Right now is what I enjoy the most. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful picture. And to enjoy life right now, in whatever stage it is. When we were, you know, when you're growing up, you know, it's just this constant, you know, to finding a life partner, then to get married, and then to have children, and then to raise, you know, it's just like, it's just this constant, it's got, you know, and that's not all wrong, but, you know, we need to enjoy life right now. Right now. At 17, Matthew, right? Going on 18. You need to enjoy it right now. And I believe to have a proper balance in life, it allows you to do that. But we live in a world, and there's opposing sides of so many things, you know, where it's wrath or anger and love, judgment and mercy, obedience and forgiveness, truth and grace, conservative and liberal, rich and poor. There's opposing sides that we constantly are struggling with. How do you left and right? How do you deal with all those questions that come up? Do I buy a car that I have to pay? How much, Tyler? $10,000 or $5,000 or, and those are questions and rallies that we all deal with. And how do you balance it out? Do I need a car that costs $10,000? Or, you know, when I bought my first car, what did I pay for it? You remember? I told you. Matthew, remember? How much? $75. But that was back in the dark ages. It was a 57 Chevy and needed a transmission. Anyway. Those are all the realities of how do you flesh it out today and finding balance in life. One of the greatest challenges is finding balance in our Christian life. It's a challenge, and it requires a continuous effort. And Jesus was perfectly balanced. The demands of his life, he had the same 24 hours that we have. And the demands on his life were just as great as they are for us. But he was able to perfectly balance that, the demands on his life, and using his time wisely. And he took time to rest. He took time to get away. But what an example to us. John 17:4 says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Would that that would be our at the end of our life, that we would say, be able to say, like John, or like Jesus said here in John, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you have gave me to do. There's times we need to say no so we can say yes. I like that. That's not original with me, but I like that. There's times we need to say no so we can say yes. Jesus said no so he could say yes to what was most important in life. Only by getting our priorities from the Scripture, God's Word, will we be able to make confident decisions amidst the overwhelming demands that it's on our life today. Are you like a boat on the lake without a rudder and just kind of flinging around? Sometimes that's the way life feels. Again, I would propose to you that finding balance in life is a goal. And don't be frustrated with the constant effort it takes to get there, to find it. I'd like to just do a little thing here. Andre, you want to help me with this? Come on up here. Some of you may have seen this years ago, but can you... What is that? Take it, hold it. What is it? It's a ball? Hold, show it so people can see it. Okay, it's a little stainless steel ball. It's real, right? Drop it. So they... Okay, pick it up again. Now, you think it's possible to bounce that ball in the air without touching it? You don't think it's possible? Okay, let's try it. See what happens here. Okay, you hold this thing here and push it down, okay? Hold it real steady. Here, come out here. Turn, come back here, Andre. This. Okay. All right, here we go. You're going to push that down. Just hold it steady. Go ahead. All the way down. Oh, stop. Maybe this ain't going to work, huh? Got to hold it real steady. Okay, go ahead. Push it down. Okay. Thank you. That was to get you awake in case you were sleeping. Okay. Balance. Now that's balancing that ball perfectly in the air. And how did that happen? Trulin, what caused that ball to balance in the midair like that? Explain that. Pushing it up. So it's a equal pressure of air around that ball all the way around. Balance. Okay? It's a perfect balance of air that keeps that ball up. Thank you. I wasn't looking for quite that long of an explanation, but that's okay. balance. Is your life out of balance? Is my life out of balance? Okay, in closing here, what I would like to do, I'm going to mention these four things, and what I would like you to do is think about these four things and see which one of them, allow God to speak to you and see which one of them you need to work on, okay? See which one of them is, I mean, just pick one. Okay, that you really feel like your life is out of balance now and you need to work on. And you need to work at it. So the first one is spiritually. How is your life, if we were to do this here, put your life in there, and see where it's at spiritually. How would it look? How's your personal devotion with God? Is there balance there? Is it happening once a day? Is it happening? Isn't it happening? Is it happening one couple times a week? If we're truly going to mature spiritually, if we're going to have balance in life, I believe it's essential that we have a proper spiritual diet. How's your family devotional like? Are you having devotions with your family? You have a splendid opportunity right now with your children, those of you that have young children, to be able to share the Word of God and to minister to them. Are you doing that? Are you taking that opportunity? I don't think anyone here would argue with the fact that it's an important thing, that of your responsibility is to be guiding your family and doing that. And how are you doing it? How would that look? Is that off balance? If you're, you know, whether it's in the morning, the evening, whenever, I don't think there's, but it needs to be happening. How's your time with your wife? Do you pray with your wife verbally? Maybe you say, well, we have silent prayer at meal, and that's okay. But do you pray with your wife outside of that verbally? If I was to ask you to raise your hand here, how many of you couples pray together, like before you go to bed or in the morning? Not over a meal, but just pray together. How many hands would go up? Probably not as many as it should, but I would encourage you to do that. I struggled with that for a long time and haven't always done real well, but the last number of years, it's been so rich for my wife and I to pray together and to enjoy that time together. And it's easier to do, I think it's easier to do it as you, when your children are not old, but it takes work. Again, balance doesn't come easy. It takes work, it takes challenge. So are you doing that? You need to do that. How are you doing with attending church services, prayer meetings? I know prayer meetings, you know, spiritual, we're talking about your spiritual life. Where are you at? The second thing, so that's spiritual, and there's many things that we could talk about there. The second thing is your family. What's your relationship with your wife like? Again, this kind of connected with the spiritual. What's your relationship with your children? What's your relationship like with your parents? Some of you have parents, some of you don't. I would maintain to you this morning to have a proper balance in life, to experience the joy, you need to be working on that. You need to be spending time. My wife, his mother, my parents are gone, they've been gone for a while, but I have brothers and sisters. And or you, am I? I don't think we need to be together every week, but there's times that we need to be together and we need to connect. We need to keep a connection there with our families. Family members are truly part of your support network, and you'll never miss them more than when you are in a low point. Are you maintaining a good family relationships in your home? The third one is your physical health. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the living God. And we only get one body. We got one body. And we need to take care of it. We need to take care of it. And I am just amazed, and it brings a new awareness of life. You know, up at the shop, when I'm up there and I meet some of the guys that come in the shop there that are my age and they're looking at retirement, and I'm amazed at how many of them I meet that have literally wore their bodies out. They're literally wore out. And it comes to this time of stage of life where they were planning to enjoy life, and they're shot. They're just done. And I'm saying, Lord, help help us to get a priority on our lives, take care of our bodies. You can't go with 4 hours of sleep and not pay for that. You can't, you know, your body is like a vehicle in a sense. It's got so many miles, and then it's going to be wore out. And so I believe it's our responsibility to take care of our bodies, to maintain our diets, to get rest, to get some exercise. There's nothing, nothing. There's getting physical exercise is so essential for a healthy mental or a healthy physical or not physical but mental being. When there's times when I get depressed and get feeling sorry for myself, you know, you get that Elijah complex plucking you. There's nothing better for me to do than to just go for a walk, and I try to do that on a fairly consistent. But get exercise, take care of your bodies. It's so important. So where are you at in the balance of life with your body? Are you taking care of it? Are you maintaining that? And then the fourth and the last thing is your finances. They say there's two things that if you talk to people about, you're stepping on dangerous ground, scary ground. That's their, if you talk about somebody's children or their finances. This one, you could almost spend the whole topic on finances and, you know, how much. I remember my father-in-law as he was in his 90s and looking back on life and done very well with his finances. He was a good manager. He came through the Depression. He knew what it was like to not have money. And he done very well at saving money and spending his money wisely. And sometimes it would drive me absolutely insane because he would drive 20 miles into Columbus to buy gas to save 20 cents on a gallon of gas or 15 cents or whatever it was. And it was just like, but he did well. He managed his finances well. And he was able to take care of his... And, you know, the question he always used to ask me is, Richard, how do you know when you have enough? How do you know that? How do you know? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to us. We may need to have urgent care, and it may take thousands of dollars with my wife. And how do you know? How do you properly? And I don't know the answers to that, all that. But I think sometimes it's we probably err on the... I see two trains of thought that I struggle with, and again, I guess it's because it's hard to find balance. But I see people that do so well with finances, and you know, they know when to buy, they know when to sell, and they just manage really well, and they have a lot. And then I see those of us that don't do as well and don't have a lot and struggle to meet ends meet and haven't made some wise decisions. But you know. There's a verse that I like to read that really grabbed me. And I just found this in our devotion the other morning when Elm and I were reading. And it's in Proverbs 30, chapter 30, 7 and 8 and 9. And I don't know if you've ever read this, but it just grabbed me. It says, this is in Proverbs, Solomon says, O God, I beg you two favors from you before I die. The first, help me never to tell a lie. The second is give me, now listen to this, neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs, for if I grow rich, I may become content without God. See what he's saying? He said, if I grow rich, then the danger is becoming content and self-motivated and satisfied, and I don't need God. And, is that ever reality? That is. And he says, but if I am too poor, then I may steal, thus insulting God's holy name. So Solomon was saying, don't make me rich, because if I get rich, I'm going to forget God and think I can do it on my own, but neither, I don't want to be poor either. So I want to be balanced. I want to have a proper balance. And so in our finances, where is that proper balance? What is too much? How do we know? Yeah, they say that if everybody in church would give 10% of their income to church, tithe 10%, missions would have no problem. There would be no financial needs in missions whatsoever across the board if people were giving 10%. So how are you doing with your finances? Are you giving 10%? Those are some questions to ask. How are you doing in your financial? God, if God blesses you with finances, I am overwhelmed working in missions. How many times and the thousands of dollars that people have given. And God bless them. I think, we couldn't do it in missions without people that have finances and can give. Maybe they are giving lots of money. But you know the story of the talent, in the scripture, where that widow gave everything she had. And the Pharisees were putting in, big money, but it was not near what they were doing with the widow. Okay, I need to stop. Durbin, were you able to make any more of those copies? Okay. If you could pass these out. Here's a paper that I came across that my wife and I use in our devotions. And what I would suggest you to do is to use one of these a day. There's 12 of them. And read it. It's a very short, like the first one is attitude, talking about balance. I choose to display a Christ-like attitude today, daily. I choose to have a PMA, positive mental attitude, and a positive impact on others rather than a DRA, a dirty, rotten attitude, and a negative impact on others. A good reminder, attitudes, and goes right down through and talks about some of the things that we talked about here, family, health, finances, faith, and on. But it's just been a really good reminder for me and my wife as we looked at it. Okay, I think I'm finished. Here's a little quote that I would like to close with that I think really fits well. Personal worship is an absolute necessary for strong relationships. It comes down to this. If I stop receiving from God, are you getting this? If I stop receiving from God, I start demanding from others. My needs aren't being met. If I stop receiving from God, I start demanding from others. Instead of appreciating and loving and serving others, I become disappointed in them. Instead of cherishing others, I become aware of their shortcomings. And I take out my frustration with less than perfect life and somehow blame them for the lack of my fulfillment. But when my heart gets filled by God's love and acceptance, I am set free to love instead of worry about being loved. I am motivated to serve instead of becoming absurd about whether I am being served. I am moved to cherish instead of feeling unappreciated. Father, this morning, thank you for your word. Thank you for men like Solomon that had experienced and knew what it meant to just live an unbalanced life and then to revisit that and give us some good information on how we today can live a balanced life. And I pray, Lord, that this morning you would instill in each of us an area that we can work on this coming week, and that we would be open and honest with each other and maybe share with somebody else in areas that we would like to work on and hold each other accountable to be able to better serve you in this time that we have here. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.